is having a great start of the day. Before we get started, I just want to put on a song that I've been listening to for quite a while now. And then after that, we'll get started.
What you drinking? Rum or whiskey? Now won't you have a double with me? I'm sorry I'm a little late. I got your message, by the way. I'm calling in sick today.
Actually, before we get started, I'll put up the land acknowledgement and then the PSAs, and then we'll start off.
You're listening to CITR 101.9, broadcasting from UBC's Point Grey campus, located on the traditional, unceded Coast Salish territory of the Hunkaminam-speaking Musqueam people.
Nisiyam, Nisiyaya, Thikum Queen Ansep, Hydra CM, Nisiyam, Nisiyaya, and the Skakuya, Talitin, Homasquim, Mustail.
You know what I could go for right now? Authentic flour tortillas pan fried until golden brown.
Yum!
Or vegan taco kits filled with traditional Mexican chilies and spices.
Yeah, that sounds good.
Or how about vegan potato and chorizo taquitos?
How can I get these foods immediately?
Buy Lita's Mexican Foods.
Sounds delicious. Tell me more.
Lita's Mexican Foods is a female-managed, plant-based Mexican food innovator in BC. Their products come prepackaged and frozen at tons of local grocery stores around Metro Vancouver. Not to mention they can be cooked in under 10 minutes.
Wow, that sounds perfect for me. I've been so busy lately and dinner takes so long to make. Where can I get my hands on some Lita's Mexican Foods?
lots of places. Whole Foods, Choices, Stong's, Vegan Supply, Donald's, and even UBC Bookstore. Hey, where are you going?
To buy some Lita's Mexican foods. See you later.
See ya.
Hello, I'm Addie Wolf, and this is my new single, Mastery. You can go check the music video on my website, addiewolf.com. That's addewolf.com. Bless.
Hi there. You're listening to CADR 101.9 FM, broadcasting from UBC Vancouver campus located on the unceded ancestral and traditional lands of the Hunkaminim-speaking Musqueam people. We honor the ancestral and ongoing care for this land by the host nations. Media practices are often rooted in white gaze, and we recognize that it is our responsibility to shift our approach and move towards radical empathy. While we broadcast from UBC Vancouver campus, our listenership extends to the unceded lands of the Musqueam, Squamish, and Tsleil-Waututh nations and beyond. We encourage you to check out native-land.ca, that is native-land.ca, to learn more about whose land and territory you live and work on or may be visiting. Thank you.
Every Friday at noon, CITR takes you on a journey through Thunderbird Radioland. A journey of sound and song, of words and music, of the now and then, of the right here and the far away. It's the Eclectic Lunch, every Friday at 12 noon, on Thunderbird Radio, 101.9 FM in beautiful Vancouver.
All right. Today we'll be discussing me and Harmela. Harmela, thank you for coming out again. We'll be discussing a film that Harmela actually recommended called Waves. It was published on the year 2019, so not too long ago. Do you want to maybe summarize the movie for us, just for the audience?
Sure. I'll give a very brief summary. We have Tyler here, who is our, I guess we can say, anti-hero. Tyler has a girlfriend. Her name is Alexis. He is also in wrestling. He's in high school. Basically, he suffers an injury, a career-ending injury in wrestling. And to cope, he turns to drugs, alcohol, finds out his girlfriend is pregnant, chaos ensues, and his girlfriend ends up dead at his hands. And we, for the rest of the film, see how the family copes with that, and then we follow along the sister's journey of falling in love with a boy named Luke, and his journey in reconciling with his dying father, and her journey in reconciling with her broken family after Tyler, her brother, is sentenced to life in prison. And that is the film Waves.
Oh my, it was, yeah, for anyone that is thinking of viewing this film, the tension builds up for quite a bit, so maybe that's like a warning for people that just don't really like films that have too much tension in it. But for people that do, like that feeling where you could just, that like adrenaline, I guess, when you're watching a film, this is a great film. I particularly like this film because it had a lot of aspects to question about parenting and then what it's like to be a son or a daughter. And especially for Tyler, which his mom, I believe, passed away. Yeah. And he was living with his stepmom, which I thought the stepmom was, like, really cool. She was really polite and all that. So, yeah, I just want to get your view on how the dad did his parenting towards Tyler with wrestling, school, and just like balancing all that.
Yeah. I think sort of an underlying theme in this film was intergenerational trauma. And Ronald, his father, pushes Tyler to, I don't want to say extreme limits, but extreme limits. And you can kind of see, did you see the competition between them? Like there were several scenes where they would be looking in the mirror and lifting weights.
Yeah.
And they'd just be grunting and like really exerting this like hyper masculine, like adrenaline type of energy. And it was just so clear that that was the extent of their relationship. And like he was this extreme watcher, nitpicker, would sit on the sidelines of his games and just sort of like have this stern look on his face. And it was interesting to see like the back and forth of like Tyler almost like being defeated in a game, and then his father's like just look of disappointment from the sidelines. What did you think of their relationship?
I think personally, I don't think Tyler's dad was as extreme as it was kind of portrayed, because I think that the dad was really trying hard to balance being a parent and being a friend and being someone that can relate to his son. So maybe people are like, yeah, them working out together and all that, all like showing that bravado is something that's trying to like intimidate Tyler. But I think that was like a way of his dad trying to relate with his son. And I think their relationship was quite healthy in a way, because all he wanted to do was Tyler was to wrestle and just to study and he even let, you know, him have a girlfriend, go out with her, which I've seen a lot of families where that's not allowed, where it's like all you have to do is school and that's it. So I think he was pretty open with the fact that, okay, you can have a girlfriend, you can have friends and all that, but you have to do your school studies and you have to do wrestling. So it's like, as long as you balance out that, you're cool with me. And I think he wasn't like always too cold. I think he was pretty soft at times, where like they would play around. And yeah, I think it was not too bad to Tyler. I think he did try his best to kind of get him straight. But I do understand why Tyler didn't go to him when he was injured. Because sometimes when, you know, your parents are too strict and you could see that they have expectations for you, it's really hard to go up to them and be like, hey, like, I can't do it. Mm-hmm. Which is something I'm like, okay, I kind of understand that perspective of Tyler. But yeah, it was, I think if you look at just Tyler's father, I think he was not too bad. I think Tyler was just the one that was kind of pressured both in his family and like his social life.
Yeah. And I think it's really wonderful that like you can see the softness of his dad, because that softness was there. But I think maybe in Tyler's perspective, like he just had so many expectations that he needed to fulfill, like in his father's eyes. And that's all he saw, that he didn't like, it was no longer like his dad that he saw, but just like what he needed to be for his dad. And that created that kind of barrier where you just can't communicate about even his injury, really, because he just kept trying to push through it and like taking painkillers to sort of numb all of the pain that he was enduring. And I think it speaks to when you're at a certain point in your life, like as a kid, you don't necessarily always see your parent as someone who can support you in the way that you need or is able to be there for you. And so that just creates this sort of like block of never going to speak to them and opening up to them about where you're at. And I think that was one of his biggest downfalls, was internalizing all of it and then letting it build and then build and build and build. And then everything kept piling up. Like, for example, with the pregnancy, his girlfriend getting pregnant, and then that being something that he just kept to himself and was dreading, and it not going his way. It builds. You add the drugs and the alcohol on top of that, and it just becomes like this monster. And it was tragic.
I can actually relate to Tyler's family quite a bit. My dad is actually pretty, he's strict, but he gives us a lot of options, which gives us the chance to think about those options and make a decision. And when we make a decision, we would talk to him and then see if our decision was well justified. And I do feel for him, where it's like, yeah, I mean, sometimes I do get kind of uncomfortable going up to him and just saying, like, okay, like, for example, if he said, hey, go wear a hoodie, it's going to be cold outside, you're going to get sick. And I said, no, like, I don't want to wear a hoodie, you know? And then I get sick. Like, I don't want to tell my dad, and, you know, dad, I got sick, I need some medicine. He'll be like, I told you, like, I don't want to hear that.
Yeah.
But those little things, okay, fine. But if you get, I know that I'll go to my dad if I got, like, a girl pregnant, or if I got, like, a serious injury. I mean, my older brother is actually a professional golfer, and my dad's his coach. And so when my brother, I've seen it many times, when my brother doesn't feel right, or if something's uncomfortable in his body when he's swinging or anything, he'll tell my dad. Because that's just something, like, that's just beyond the limit of, like, oh, I'm scared of my dad, and, like, how he's going to respond. Like, that's just beyond the limit. You have to do it. But I'm not quite sure how to teach that, because all of us feel that way. Like, if something really happened, then we have to tell our dad. But when I look back, I'm like, wait, why do I go to him in those situations? Is I think it's because I've seen him, how he dealt with those situations and problems. It's like, okay, I can trust him, and, like, he won't be too extreme with, like, of course he's gonna give us some kind of, like, lecture about what's going on, but despite that, like, he will eventually fix it, and I know that he's on my side. But I'm not quite sure if Tyler understood that, which is like, wait, did the dad not show his son that, oh yeah, I'm on your side, just know that, but you know, if you need anything, then, you know, I'm here. But, like, I think it was just too much tension that built up between them two, and, like, wrestling and school was just too, it was just overriding the fact that his dad was his dad. Which was kind of sad to see. But I don't know, I also kind of feel like even Tyler's girlfriend wasn't, like, someone he could rely on as well, because he kind of, you know, used her as, like a stress relief, kind of. And, like, he didn't really have, there were no scenes where they were actually having a decent conversation and talking about, like, what they wanted to do after high school, or, like, how wrestling was going, or how she was doing. It was more of like, yeah, we'll just, you know, get in bed and then that's it.
Yeah.
Which was like, okay, so Tyler is basically stuck. Like, he has no one to rely on. Even though he has people around him, I don't think he quite got that, oh yeah, I don't, you know, I do have people that can help me with everything.
And I think that's a super common issue, like, around a certain age. I think so many things just start piling up within us. Like, I can speak on my experience with my mom, and she is the kind of woman who has all the right answers, and she's lovely. But when I have certain questions about, like, well, I don't know what to do, and I'm stuck here, like, in this chapter of my life, my first instinct isn't to go to my mom, because I just don't want to endure the lecture. I don't want to do it.
We all understand.
And it's like, it'll be like 5% really good stuff, and then the rest of the 95% is like lecture, lecture, lecture. And that's just not what speaks to me. So it's like that relationship is almost stunted in that way. And I don't think that will always be the case, but I think just in this time period where you see your kid as your kid and not as like the separate entity and everything that is looking to you for maybe some advice and not wanting you to tell them exactly what to do. I think when you don't have an outlet and all of these things are just within you and you never get them on paper and you never get them like outside of your mind, they become like daggers to your heart, to your body, to everything. Like they just like clog you up in so many ways. And I think Tyler was trying to self-medicate in every sense. I think it's also interesting that his birth mother died of an overdose. And so you have like these patterns within this like family of, or like the cycle, you could say, of addiction. And I think it manifested in a way for him that, well, I actually want to hear your opinion on this, because I think when Alexis, his girlfriend, was murdered, it was very clear to me that it wasn't intentional. That it was, No. Yeah.
It was definitely not intentional.
Yeah. And then, God, it just, I think seeing this, you hear about all of these horrible things on the news and you're like, how could that have happened? Why would he kill this person? And to see it depicted in this way of like, oh my God, like this is not what the intention was. Like, I don't know what just happened and everything is so blurry and confused and now someone is dead. To see it depicted in this way of like, human lives are so fragile and the idea of murder being something that could occur by accident, which does happen, and seeing how that ripples out in the context of the family and then even in the context of his little sister going to school and being completely isolated, I think it's so eye-opening to just see it from the inside out in that way.
Yeah, I think that I can't find the word. I know it's not empathy. Mm-hmm. It's like I don't empathize fully with what Tyler did or whatever case that happened like this. It's definitely not a justifiable act. But it's just that feeling that in between where it's like, I know where you came from and I kind of understand why you did it, but I don't quite empathize with you. It's like that weird feeling in between where it's like, I like you, but I don't like you. Mm-hmm. Right. It's like, it's weird. Mm-hmm. And I think they did a great job in doing that, because in the end of the movie, it's like, it didn't give the message of saying Tyler's a bad person. He was just wrapped up in a bad situation and made a bad decision, but he's not a bad person. Because if he was, then, because if he was a bad person, then he wouldn't have followed his dad's words, or he wouldn't have done wrestling, he wouldn't have done school well. Like, he still tried, but I think later on it just caught up to him. Mm-hmm. And I actually want to hear your opinion on the scene where Tyler was recovering and he was in his room and you could see the denial of his injuries, and he picks up the dumbbells and he starts trying to like do curls, and like you could see the pain in his face. Mm-hmm. Do you think that act was stupid, or do you think it was like, or do you understand why he did it? Because mm-hmm. I kind of understand why he did it, because mm-hmm. my brother's an athlete, mm-hmm. and I also go to the gym, so I understand why he was doing that. Mm-hmm. But what do you think that kind of showed you as him as a person?
Him as a person, for me, it just showed the mentality of like, well, I can push through this. As long as I have the will, I will push through this. Like, there's no way. Just, again, the denial aspect of it. denial on top of sort of like this need to, when you, I feel like I'm not an athlete, but I know that there's this kind of identification of yourself in the sport. Like, this sport is not just something that you play, it's who you are and what you do, in a sense. And so if he's not able to play this sport, then like, who is he? And so it was like, for me, this sort of willpower and this need to like, no, this is who I am, I can't give this up. That's how it read. How did it read for you?
I understand where you're coming from, but I think it was a very, very stupid thing to do.
Yeah.
It's a very, because I think what I see in willpower for athletes is when they're running, when they have to run like 10 miles and it's like 9.5 miles in and they're like, oh, I want to quit, but like they can still do it. So then for them to push through that session, okay, maybe like, you know, you have a very strong mentality. For that, I'm kind of a hypocrite because I've done that too. Like when my elbow, like if I feel some kind of pain in my elbow, I'm like, wait, if I do it like this, will it go away? If I do it like this, if it will go away. But in those cases, you just have to stop and just not do it and just sink in that, okay, I'm injured, I need to wait until this is recovered. But for in his case, the recovery wasn't going to do anything to his career. He was done. So for you to experience that in a very young age, I understand like how he didn't know how to cope with it. Because even for athletes that are probably like professional and they're just like starting their career and they get that, dude, it's like, like you feel like you've died inside. It's just a horrible feeling, especially if it's like for him, because wrestling was probably going to be associated with university and then university was going to associate with his life. So it's just everything just came crashing down. So I understand that. So I think that scene really showed the desperation he had of like, wait, I think I can do it. I think I can get through this. And I think if I just push myself a little hard enough, mm-hmm. maybe, like, you know, I'm still young, so I'll just, you know, I think I can get healed. But it's the young kid that's talking, not him.
Yeah.
So that one was really, it was really sad for me to see that because I'm like, wow, like, you just need to just accept that the fact that you are not going back to wrestling.
Mm-hmm.
I really wish that he mentioned that to his dad. Because I want to see how he would have reacted. I know how my dad would have reacted. He probably would have said, like, just accept it and move on and try and find something else to do. Because I think this lesson applies to us not only in like, school or anything, but just in general. Because I think for my dad, he actually has been going through, like, some things as he was getting older. Like mentally and stuff, and I think he would tell me like how as you get older you'll experience changes, whether it's physically or mentally, and the more you're going to try and fight it, the more you try to fight it, the more difficult it's going to be for you. So the best thing to do is just accept it and let it go. I think it's kind of like menopause, where it's like the hormones and all that just keep getting mixed. And yeah, the best thing to do is just accept it and then just move on, because it's just part of life. It's like athletes, like, you know, like I used to train with like 20-pound dumbbells and now I can't, like, that's just too heavy. That's totally normal. Mm-hmm. Like, don't feel like you've got weaker. It's just how things go. Mm-hmm. And I think that's a very, very important lesson for anyone, where it's like one point or another, you're going to fall.
Mm-hmm.
Like, whether it's 2 years from now or 2 months from now, it's just going to happen. So when it does, don't be so surprised, because it was something that was coming.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that was a very good thing that I caught from this movie.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah.
Yeah. Like accepting it. I think Tyler and sort of when we were watching his like spiral downwards was this complete disregard of acceptance. Like he could not accept the situations that he was faced with, and instead he tried to fight back. And him fighting back, like him showing up to the prom party and looking for her and everything, was just like him trying to fight this. Like, I don't accept the situation. I don't accept the fact that you will keep the baby. I don't accept the fact that I have possibly lost all of my career opportunities. I don't accept it. And I'm going to fight this. And he fought her and he killed her. And like, in a way, like killed everything else around it. And so I think that that lesson of acceptance is a really important one, because the consequences of not accepting the situation and trying to fight it so hard that you demolish everything around you is a very scary reality, and one that I hope to never face.
Do you think that Tyler was characterized as a very young person mentally compared to our era? Because like, the way he did things was just so, it was like everything he did was, it seemed like he was in panic, which he was. But when the scene where Alexi, is that her name? His girlfriend?
Alexis.
Yeah, Alexis. Mm-hmm. Where she texted him like, hey, like, don't be mad if I tell you my decision. And then she tells him, I'm going to keep it. And then he just immediately just be like, why? Like, why are you? And I'm like, bro, like, I don't under, like, can't you at least be fake and be like, okay, I respect your decision. Do you want to like meet up and discuss about, like, I just don't understand. Like, how can you be so selfish in that situation? Because like, you're in it together, like both of you, whether you guys are continuing the relationship or not, like that's your responsibility.
Mm-hmm.
And it just seemed very irresponsible for him to mm-hmm. do that. But yeah, I don't know. All the people that I know, I don't think they would act like that.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously I've never been in that situation, so I don't know exactly what's going on, but I don't know, it just seems like he was just too stupid for his age. Because I mm-hmm. think when you're a high school senior, you should know, like, what you kind of know, like, you know, like what to do in certain situations.
Mm-hmm. I think, and that's the difference, you know, like, you know, in high school, like, well, this is how I should do it, and then you're in that situation and you're like, but I don't want to have a baby.
Yeah.
And like, you do all of this like messed up ish. And again, like, I remember we kind of had this conversation a little bit with Letters to Juliet. And in high school, like, this is the sort of trial period where you make all of the mistakes. Well, not all of them, but you make some mistakes and then you learn from them. And so this was his like first go at that, let's say.
It's a big mistake, though.
It's a really big mistake.
Very big.
And
yeah.
I think he like made every wrong decision that could have been made, which is why he ended up in jail.
Yeah.
But yeah, like, it's hard to empathize with. But at the same time, I'm like thinking about who I was when I was in grade 12. Or a senior in high school, and I did not know anything. And I was just trying to learn. I would just ask my friends, like, I don't understand this. And they didn't know what they were talking about either. So I would just, like, take their awful advice and just do, like, really stupid stuff. Mm-hmm. Not to this extent, but I could see the immaturity in him and the sort of, like, rashness of his decisions as, like, a child navigating these really life-altering situations.
Yeah, it was... Yeah, immature was the word that I wanted to use. He was just very immature with how he dealt with the situation. I think he could have done better. I think when you said, yeah, you know, this is a point where in your life where you could make mistakes, I actually consider mistakes as something that you can recover from. His mistake was just way out of the line. It just like, which is really sad, because like, it just happened so quick, everything all at once.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just like, bro, like, if it's hard for me to comprehend, like, I wonder how it was for you. And I'm pretty sure that he's going to be a changed person as he gets older. I really wish they kind of showed what, like, how he turned out. Because it was really sad of how it ended. Because it was almost like this movie was divided into two. Mm-hmm. Where it was like the story of Tyler and then the story of his sister, Emily. Mm-hmm. And the way that Tyler's story ended was just as dark as it can be. And I was just like, whoa, this is sad. But yeah, I kind of want to move on now to Emily, mm-hmm. which is the second movie, I guess, how I would like to categorize it. But yeah, let's move on to the parenting aspect of Emily and how she was portrayed throughout the movie, throughout the half of the movie, and whether you acknowledged her as a character.
Mm. I definitely did. I think in the first half of the movie, she didn't really stand out to me. So my first viewing of the movie, I was actually kind of surprised to see how big her storyline became in the second half, and I really enjoyed that. I think her relationship with her parents was, at that point, was really interesting, because you could see that she was on her own in sort of every way, because her parents had to learn how to deal with it for themselves, and they couldn't necessarily be there for her as the family, like, lost Tyler. And seeing her as an independent character and, like, on her own journey allowed us that when that, like, moment of reconciliation could happen between her father, like, I think that's when I sort of was able to take, like, my first real, like, deep breath in. Like, there's some semblance of hope.
Mm. Like, Yeah, I don't quite remember Emily in the first half of the movie.
Yeah.
Because it was just so heavily centered around Tyler. So I didn't know exactly what she was doing. It just seems like she was, oh, this is such a big mistake, I think. I mean, I'm saying this as, like, I'm a parent, but I'm saying in the perspective of me as a person that has a parent, mm-hmm. and is experiencing, like, everything, is I think it happens a lot where parents misunderstand that their child is okay because they never, like, make any mistakes, or they don't really come talk to them. They just seem like they're okay, which is, like, such a big, it could be a big problem. I also think that Emily has a lot of internal conflicts that goes on. She just never expressed it. Mm-hmm. And the only time that she had to kind of free herself from that was with Luke. Where it's like, oh yeah, I can kind of take a breath and just take a break from everything that's going on. Mm-hmm. And I think she did a wonderful job dealing with her brother ending up that way, and how she really comforted, like, the whole vibe of her family. And it was really it was really wholesome to see how she was telling her dad not to cry and just, like, everything's going to be okay. And it just seems so adult. It was just, like, amazing for me to see. It was just such a beautiful scene that was just made. And I think Emily has an equal amount of impact of Tyler in the movie. It's just, like, a different way she did it.
Yeah.
And I think, yeah, I really respect her character. She was just such a... She just knew how to do things, I think, just better, which is probably from Tyler. Probably, she probably looked at how he was doing everything, and she probably learned from that, obviously. But yeah, it was really cool to see how she was dealing with everything with, like, such calmness and just, like, everything. And I actually want to ask, do you remember the scene where Luke's father died, and then, or was it when Luke's father died? They were in the hospital, and Luke was crying, mm-hmm. or either crying or talking with his dad, and Taylor was crying, like, with him, and there were, like, flashbacks of, like, her hugging her brother while he was, like, drugged in the bathroom. Mm-hmm. Do you think that the tears that she shed was showing grief of her brother, or was it more of, like, oh, I could have done something about it. Because when I say, did she show grief? I'm saying her acceptance of, like, oh yeah, my brother is is like done. Like he's in jail forever, and all I can do is just like, you know, just feel the sadness and just move on. Mm-hmm. And then if I, when I say like, or her regretting her decision, it's like, yeah, because there was a scene where she was like, I could have done something, but could she have? I don't think she could have. Mm-hmm. But yeah, what do you think about that?
I think that her talking about, well, could I have done something, shows that within herself, her like learning curve, or like something that she's really taken away from this, is stepping up when you see someone's in need. And not that that is her responsibility, but that she has taken on, like, that's something she has internalized as her responsibility. And I think in that moment, she wanted to be for Luke everything that she wanted to be for her brother, or could have been for her brother, but wasn't able to in some way. Clearly, she saw her brother struggling. And I think that she has to, after everything had happened with him murdering Alexis, I think she had like was plagued with the question of like, I am his sister. Like, what could I have done? I like taking on some of the responsibility of him doing this awful thing, and like of him being a monster, and wondering if she could have saved him. And because I think that's what sort of the family, the entire family, was going through, of what could we have done? How could we have stopped this? Because he was ours, and like our own, somebody who was a part of us did this horrible thing, and we're responsible for that in some way. And so I think her tenderness with Luke, and like being able to sort of like guide him through this, her encouraging him to go see his dying father, comes from a place of not letting someone slip through the cracks, and make a decision that they'll regret. And I think the whole family now has to deal with fate, like, what does regret mean in this sense? Because there's no way that they could come out of that, walk away from that situation, the entire family, without feeling regret.
I actually believe in the sense where when everything went down as it is, mm-hmm. and you say, oh, could I have done better? What I like to do is no, I couldn't have, because whatever decision I made back then is probably the best decision I could have made. And the reason why I think that I could have done better is because after experiencing it, now that I'm thinking, oh, maybe I could have, because now I see the result of what I decided. And I think in most cases, it's a pretty healthy way to think, where it's like, I decided on that decision because I thought it was the best decision I could have made at that time in that situation. And I think the family should all think that way. And there's a specific scene that I want to ask about, where Tyler was drugged and he went to the bathroom. He started throwing up, and Emily covered for him, mm-hmm. saying like, hey, like the parents are going to wake up. Do you think that was a good thing to do? Do you think, because I was kind of covered of like how like nice she was, of like the concern that she was showing of how, like, what the consequences will be if mom and dad found out about Tyler, and like how Tyler's gonna get all those things. But then I really thought about it, and I'm not saying that she could have prevented it. I think that whatever she did had a reason, which is I know why she did it. But what do you think about that situation? Like, mm-hmm. do you think she should have still, although realizing the consequences of her actions, told her parents what was going on? Or maybe sugarcoating it a little bit, saying that, you know, I think Tyler is not doing very well.
Mm-hmm. I think it's hard to say, because I don't think she could have fathomed, like, the extent of where he was at. like maybe in her eyes, she just saw like, oh, he went out one night, like party too much, and then is like now like messed up completely. And like just seeing her older brother in this way, and like I, as a younger sister to an older brother and stuff, it's like, okay, well, I'm gonna cover for you in this moment, because hopefully down the line somewhere you'll cover for me when I'm like in a messed up situation. And like she is an outsider to all of that, and I think looking back, she probably really thought, I should have said something, like I should have said something. And I think she was just, with what she knew and what she suspected of her brother, thought that, well, I think he'll be okay because I know Tyler. And what she knew of Tyler was what she saw. And there was so much that was left unsaid by him that he was not showing and that he was burying within himself, that there was no way that she could have known the like magnitude of everything happening. What did you think?
Yeah, because this is a really difficult one. Now that I hear what you just said, I didn't realize that she would have probably thought, oh, another day partying, like he's probably just messed up right now, he'll be okay. Like I never considered that factor. I think I considered her thinking, like I assumed that she would have thought, oh, this is not going to go in a good direction because of how it ended. So it's like unconsciously I was considering the fact that how it's going to end and then reflecting it back on the scene instead of looking at the scene itself and what has built up throughout that and then making a decision from that. I think that's such a difficult one, because it's not like he did something to someone. It's like greening out smoking weed, right? Yeah. So it's like, wait, am I really going to tell, like, right? So it's like, I don't, because he's a high school senior. He's a wrestling guy. Apparently he's popular. He has a lot of friends. He has a girlfriend.
He has blonde hair.
He has yes. He has blonde, like, I would immediately assume, like, okay, he just went out with his friends. Even for me, like, if my brother did that, I would probably, you know, I don't think I would tell just because. Because I don't know where it's going to end up. I don't think I can give a definite answer on what I would do, because it's just so hard. Because it could break me and my brother's relationship, or it could break me and my like parents. It just can all go in a very bad direction. It's just hard to say. Yeah, let's look into Tyler again and reflect back on the scene where his dad's like, what are you doing? Like, what work are you doing? And then he's like, shut the computer. Like, let's talk. Something's wrong. Like, and then they start talking, and the dad's like, is there anything wrong? And all that, saying like, yeah, you're in my house. Like, this is like my rules and all that and all that stuff. I think the way he said it was a bit intimidating. But do you think there is a small portion of reason where he had this like pride of like, no, I can do it. Like I'm like doing wrestling, I'm doing school, like that just like unnecessary pride that led him not saying the things that was going on inside to either his parents or his friends? Or do you think it was purely because of the fear that his dad's going to be disappointed and like he's going to lose everything, his wrestling, his like university and everything?
I think both. I think that their relationship, like a major tie to Ronald, his father, and Tyler, was their sort of bonding and like this, his mentorship to Tyler in this way. And so it's like, if you lose that, then what do you have? Because Ronald is his coach, and we saw him being a coach throughout the movie. He was coaching Tyler throughout the first half of the movie. And I mean, what else does a coach do besides instruct you and guide you in this one area of like your sport and your athleticism. And I think that in that way, like, again, I haven't been on a sports team since grade six. So what I imagine for like sort of these sports teams is that your coach is someone that like your relationship is built on your showmanship or just your ability in the sport. And so when you lose that, you lose the relationship, because that's how you communicate, that's how you bond, that's just how you be in that relationship. And so I think in that state of like them kind of going back and forth and him coaching him, being like, you're in my house and everything, and like exerting his power as his coach and as his father and as his provider, protector, all of that, I think he took that to heart, Tyler, and accepted that sort of relationship as it. Like, okay, well, my coach is telling me or asking me if I'm okay. And yeah, I'm fine. I'm good. I'm ready to get back out there. Like, there's no sweat off my back. And I'm going to appease you in this way. Like, trust me, watch me tomorrow. I'll be better. I'm not in pain. I'm good. There's nothing you can do or say that's going to stop me. And like just that sort of mentality. And that's what I think that's what I was witnessing in that moment. What did you see?
Yeah, I could definitely see that he didn't want to disappoint his dad. When someone's rooting for you or when someone is expecting from you, it's just kind of something you do where you want to move forward and just like keep going. It's like, it's almost like when like you're eating pizza with your friends and then like one of your friends' moms are like, oh my god, like you're such, you know, you eat a lot of pizza, like that's good for you, and you just unconsciously you're just like, really? And you just kind of like want to eat more. It's just that thing, yeah. You know what I mean? Like that thing that just goes on. And I think that was going on with Tyler and his dad, where it's like his dad believed that he could do it. And the reason why he was pushing him is because he did have potential. Like, why would he push him if he didn't have potential? Right? And he's his son. And despite him being his son, he still went hard, which was good because he was being objective as, you know, seeing him as an athlete, not a son. Which was, you know, I think it was something necessary that he should have done. I don't know what it was like behind the scenes with his stepmom, but I think one of the crucial roles for households where the person that disciplines the child and the person that doesn't really, the major role, I think, is to, for the people that don't really discipline, is to remind the kid that in the end, we're all on your side. Like, whatever your dad's doing to you is for you. Mm-hmm. And at the moment, because of the heat of the moment, you're just like, oh, no, he's not. Like, he doesn't like me. He's just doing that because he... But later on, you hear it later on. You're like, oh. Because after the results settle in, you'll reflect back and be like, oh, that's why my dad told me to run at 3 a.m. in the morning. Mm-hmm. Like, that's why he wanted me to train an extra hour after school. Like, oh, okay. Like, that realization doesn't come up if you don't remind him before, saying like, oh, you know, your dad's telling you to do this because, you know, he wants you to do better. Like, he, like, why would he ever push you if you didn't have the gift of, you know, being an athlete? Like, come on, just go through it. Like, your dad's always like that. Come on. Mm-hmm. But I don't think that was the case. I feel like both of them were just trying to be dominant. It's like the mom was like, had work. And the pressure of, like, her mom working and, like, the money she was bringing him, like, he had to do good. But on the other side, his father's like, you have to do good as well. Like, school and everything, balance it all out. Like, it was just, like, a very terrible balance where he was experiencing just, like, constant drive and, like, just keep going. Mm-hmm. Which was, like, something sad to see, actually.
Yeah. There was no space for conversation. And... that sort of idea of, okay, well, just keep going and like you'll see the results. Know that we're on your side. All of that makes sense, perfect sense. But then when there's no stop or place for just a breath and like checking in, just the check-in. Are you okay? Where are we at? How are we doing? What is going on? Because we need to know. We need to know if you're okay at the end of the day. And I think that when those conversations were had of like, okay, I just checking that you're okay, there was so much like, I don't even know how to describe it, but it's like, imagine a piercing and it's infected. And that is gnarly stuff to look at. And you can't even like touch it. You can't even see the piercing because it's covered up by so much pus and like nasty-ish. It's like the wound was so pussy.
Oh my God. Yes, I understand what I mean. Yeah, okay.
Puss-filled. Mm-hmm. And gnarly. Mm-hmm. That like there was just all of the sort of like, and he just kind of put a Band-Aid over it. And when what he needed was antibiotics and like medicine to treat that wound. And I think they just didn't understand the extent to which like the infection had grown and was almost like irreparable by just checking in. Because when there, I wonder what the like pattern of check-ins were before everything had gone down and they could see that something was up with Tyler.
Yeah. But I also think that all that like buildup of pus is responsible. Like that responsibility is held on Tyler. Because the only person that knows if that's being built up is you. Mm-hmm. And the only way for you to actually see it is when you take a break and actually just see like what the heck is going on. Mm-hmm. But in order for you to see it, although you're the only person that can see it, the factor that can help in is the people around you. Mm-hmm. And they need to give you a break to kind of, or tell you like, oh, I think you need to, you know, just calm down and just like see where you're at. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was very intense. I don't think you've noticed, but you probably haven't noticed. There were no like family gatherings, like not one dinner scene where they just sat down, which is so odd because in these like athletic families, they all sit down, eat dinner. Well, usually. And then they would discuss like, how was the game? Like, what do you think about the game? Like, what strategy did not work? And then they would discuss it, but there was no scene, like none of it that mm-hmm. showed it. So yeah, that was very interesting for me.
That's a good point.
Yeah, I think that's something that should have been, not should have been in the film, because I think that was made purposely, but if it was, then I think Tyler almost forgot the family aspect of everything. Yeah. It's just like everything is work mm-hmm. and school and just every, you know, like sports and everything, and just kind of lost track of mm-hmm. where he's at. Mm-hmm.
And that they were his family.
Yeah, like, it was... But yeah, we're actually running out of time. I just want to end on the note where... Dude, what was I going to say? Oh, yeah, I just had it in my head. Yeah, he just didn't know where he was at. So I think one of the best things that you should do is always know where you're at. And what you're doing and why you're doing it. Because mm-hmm. if you don't have that straight, I think it's really easy to just go off path mm-hmm. and just lose everything. So I think that's something that everyone should do, is just like sometimes just like take a break and just answer those questions. And I think once you do that, you'll kind of know where to start on, like, or what to do.
Mm-hmm. That's a great piece of advice. I needed to hear that. So thank you, Jeff.
Yeah, thank you. But yeah, this was a very fun session. I hope to see you next week if you have time.
Yeah.
But yeah, thank you again, Harmela, and I hope everyone has a wonderful rest of the day.
Same.
Yes, this is, this will be my 10th Halloween episode, basically. All right, now we have